good to see everyone here this morning, especially those who may be visiting with us. We're glad that you have come to visit with us and enjoy a time of fellowship and a time of worship of our Lord. I'm going to look this morning at 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. We have a very unusual occurrence in this particular passage of Scripture. And in 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 1, it says, "In those days Hezekiah was sick, near unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall, and he prayed unto the Lord, saying, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech you, how I have walked before you in truth with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept sorely. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out of into the middle of the part of the city, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn back and say to Hezekiah, the prince of my people, Thus says the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, and behold, I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up into the house of the Lord. And I will add unto your days 15 years. And I will deliver you out of this city, out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake, and for the sake of my servant David." I always look at that passage, we look at that, and we think, well, that's a very unusual situation. As far as we know, this is the only time that it ever actually happened throughout the Bible, that God promised and actually gave someone 15 more years of life. Now, if you understand the background of this particular passage, we find that the kingdom of Judah had been miraculously delivered out of the hands of the Assyrian army. In fact, you go back to chapter 19 and in verse 35, it says, "It came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000 when the men arose early in the morning, and behold, they were all dead bodies." They were surrounded. The city was surrounded. There was no possible way, under man's understanding, how they could be delivered from the hand of their enemies. And yet God sent his angel to destroy them. Sennacherib, the king of the Assyrians, when there was a archaeological dig in his city of Nineveh, several hundred years later, we find that there was a thing called a prism, that's with an M on the end of it, of Sennacherib that was found. And it was several-sided thing with standing several feet tall. And all that was written, all of the great battles and all of the great conquering that Sennacherib, the king of the Assyrians, had done. But when it came down to the kingdom of Judah, it said he had just surrounded the city. And he had kept the king, Hezekiah, in his city like a bird in a cage. So he never did conquer that land as God said he was not going to, as God had delivered them from. The 10 northern tribes of Israel, they had already been taken into captivity by the same king, and they never returned. Most of them didn't. And God promised to save the remnant from the kingdom of Judah, and in particular, the city of Jerusalem, for the lineage of Christ. And in 2 Kings chapter 19 and verse 30, it says, "And the remnant that is escaped out of the house of Judah shall take again the root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth the remnant, and out of Mount Zion not they that shall escape, and the zeal of the Lord shall perform this." So God says, this is my will. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to take care of my people because of my servant David. And now King Hezekiah, we'll talk about in a moment. And Hezekiah was, in a sense, in the prime of his life. He was not very old yet. And he had been the king for some time, and yet he was one of the best, if not the best, of all the kings of the kingdom of Judah after the kingdom had divided after the time of Solomon. He was one of the very few that was good, and he set his heart to do the things of God, to be faithful to him. It's a great example for you and me, because in spite of everything going on in the kingdom of Judah that could have caused the people to be destroyed, it was Hezekiah the king that took the lead, describing how that they needed to serve God and be faithful to him. And so God performed the miracle to deliver them. But then we find here in chapter 20, as we read, God said, Hezekiah, I'm going to take your life. You're going to die. And he says, set your house in order, for you're going to die and you're not going to live. Now we look at that and realize, well, how is this going to happen? What's going to happen to this king? He's in the place of his greatest power and authority and wealth and all of those things. And now he's going to die, but God says, no, I'm going to give you 15 more years. We'll go to 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 8. It says, and Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, this shall be the sign unto you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing which he has spoken, and shall the shadow go forward 10 steps, or go back 10 steps. And Hezekiah answered, it is a light thing for the shadow to decline 10 steps. No, but let the shadow return backward 10 steps. Consider what Hezekiah asked God to do. God says, okay, I'm going to give you a sign. I'm going to show by a miracle that I am going to save you and give you 15 more years of life. So God gave Hezekiah the choice. You want me to cause the sundial to go forward 10 degrees, or you want me to make it go backward for 10 degrees? Well, Hezekiah says, well, it always goes forward, so why don't you make it go back? Well, indeed, God did. And so it was a proof that Hezekiah was going to live 15 more years. And, you know, we don't know when we're going to die, because someday it's going to happen. And we know that because we're human beings. But God promised him 15 more years of life. But we have to look at this and realize, well, if that were given to us, if we had the same thing said to us, what would we do? Well, there are some things we need to understand when we come together to worship and we study and learn, and when we go out into everyday life to try to live a life of example and faith and teaching to others. What is required of us? What does God want us to do? Well, first of all, we observe that the sudden approach of death, even for the stoutest and most faithful people, causes us to begin maybe to our faith to waver a little bit. Now, death is a painful shock at any time, and when we have lost loved ones, we understand that. Well, our time here, our time has not come yet. Someday it's going to. But while hoping for recovery, if to be told that, well, that's it, you're not going to live any longer, as Hezekiah was told, well, what would happen? Well, why would people who are faithful to God fear death? Well, it's not so much that we fear that we're going to die, because we know in our mind it's going to happen someday. And yet still, there is the fear of the unknown. We don't understand. We as finite human beings can't see to that part of the life that comes after this one. And so Hezekiah, even though he's very faithful to God, still was afraid of the fact that he was going to die. And that's normal. That's normal for all human beings to have that kind of fear. And yet the faith in our Lord is what will sustain us to overcome that, to be in his presence forever. We often fear the things that we don't understand, or we can't see the future about it. But in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, we know someday we're going to take that step that Hezekiah eventually had. But God is going to be with us if we believe him, if we are trying to be faithful to him, because we know that we're going to fall short sometime, but God will forgive. By His love and grace and mercy, He will be with us if we try to be faithful to Him. And so we're not going to be alone, even when we ourselves face death, as Hezekiah was doing. But when we look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20, the Bible says that the Apostle Paul, in what's sometimes called the great chapter on the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "But Christ was raised from the dead." Now, he had already talked about in that particular passage all the consequences if Jesus had not been raised from the dead. He says, "Your faith would be in vain, it'd be worthless. Your hope of eternal life was not going to be such a thing." And all these consequences if Christ had not been raised from the dead. But he says, "But Christ was raised from the dead." That's the foundation of our faith in Jesus Christ. And when we have that, God's going to be with us, even if we're faced with the thing that Hezekiah was told about. Hezekiah did as many of us might have done under the situation. He came and laid down on his bed and turned his face to the wall, and he cried for help to the Lord. I think about this for a moment. Here's the great king of Judah. He had just gone through a great victory over his enemies. And even though the odds were impossible, as man's will thought, and yet they overcame. And he was a man of complete helplessness. His power, his wealth, his authority, all of that meant nothing because he could not do anything about it. And so we find there is a total dependence upon God. In Acts chapter 17, when the Apostle Paul was speaking in the city of Athens there on Mars Hill, and he was talking about the true God that created all these things that could be seen in the world. And he says, "In Him, in this God, we live and move and have our being." So everything that we are is because of God's blessing upon us. And we need to understand that, no matter what we face in life, that God is always there. He is not going to turn His back upon us as we are trying to be faithful and serve Him. But He says, and He says in Acts 17, verse 29, "For we, as many of your own poets have said, for we are His offspring." Every one of us, according to Genesis chapter 2, is made in the image of God. We have a spirit within us that God has given, that is made in God's image. And God wants us to be saved eternally. He does not want anyone to be lost. He wants us to be saved. But we look at what God said to us in the book of James, for example. In James chapter 5 and verse 13, He says, "Is any among you suffering? Let him pray." Well, that's what Hezekiah did. "Is any cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save him that is sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he had committed sin, he shall be forgiven. Confess therefore your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The supplication of a righteous man avails much in its working." So Hezekiah was a righteous man. God said to the prophet, He said, "You're going to die. Set your house in order." He prayed earnestly and faithfully to the Lord, and God had mercy on him and delivered him. But we also should see the need to set our house in order in our lives, as Hezekiah was willing to do. He wanted to make sure that everything was right, not only for himself in his time, but also for his family that would follow, and for the kingdom over which he ruled, which was the kingdom of Judah. Now, in time of health and strength, we realize that to prepare for the future, and God wants us to do that. There are several passages in the Bible that talk about how we prepare and prepare ourselves even for in this physical life for the future that's coming. Now, to be sure, we can't see what's going to happen to tomorrow, but if we are faithful to God, He has promised He will be with us whatever the problem may be. One of the things that Josephus, the, the Jewish writer later on, historian, said about Hezekiah. He said he had no male heir to take his throne as the king of Judah. And so if he had died at that point in time, there would have been no one in his family to take over as the king. And his son Manasseh was born after the time when God gave him 15 more years of life. We can make a will, for example, and hope that our descendants are going to be benefiting from that. But we have to be willing to do the things to prepare ourselves in this life, physically, but even more so spiritually. In the spiritual realm, we need to obey the will of God while there is time. Now, we understand in our mind and our thoughts that there's a real possibility in everyday life that something may happen to us and we may not live even to see tomorrow. And we understand that, and we don't really think it's going to happen to us necessarily today or tomorrow, but we know that there is a possibility. And someone has said, I've heard it many times over the years, never put off until tomorrow what you can do today. Well, that's a good rule for us to follow, especially in the spiritual realm, because many people are going to be lost eternally because they kept putting off the idea of believing and obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching to the people, and he proved to them through the scriptures and through Jesus' miracles that Jesus was in fact the Christ, he says, who you have crucified, they said, what shall we do? They didn't understand. What can we do to alleviate the guilt of this sin that we have committed in crucifying the Son of God? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In other words, he says, you prepare for the day of judgment. That's how it had to begin. That's how it has to begin with us, too, in our time. We find, for example, in Acts 26, when the Apostle Paul made his defense before King Agrippa. And Agrippa said, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Well, almost isn't good enough. That doesn't get you there. You have to be willing to believe and to obey the things that are there. Now, we realize that God gives us this life, and this is the only life we have. And when we die, our eternity is sealed where we're going to spend that eternity. So we have to take every day of life to prepare for that time. And God gives us the opportunity and privilege every day we live to prepare for that time. We also need to see that there are circumstances in which prayer for continued and sustained life is acceptable and justified. Hezekiah came to the throne in a very bad time for the nation of Israel, a very bad time of national decay. They were turning farther and farther away from God, going into idolatry and immorality and all kinds of warfare, and all of those things were going on. And yet Hezekiah brought his nation back to God and back to his righteousness. Now, if you read through the books of 1 and 2 Kings, you'll find that Hezekiah and his great-grandson Josiah were the two best kings ever of the kingdom of Judah. Now, the other, some of them were okay, some not so bad, and then some are really bad, and some are even worse. But these were two great kings. And the Bible tells us that, and the prophets told these two kings, because of your faith, because of your strength and your guidance of God's people as king, I'm going to continue this kingdom much longer than it would have I would have normally done so. So Hezekiah was in the prime of his life. He wanted more time to build and to do things for the sake of his people. One interesting thing about Hezekiah, he was not only a great king, he was a great builder and an architect and other things. One of the things Hezekiah did in the hills, above the city of Jerusalem, there was a place where there were some springs of water. And those just flowed down the side of the mountain into the creek and on down eventually down to the Dead Sea. Well, Hezekiah had his men carve through solid rock to change the course of those springs so that the city of Jerusalem would always have fresh water coming in from those springs. And it saved them on many occasions from enemies who tried to destroy them and to surround their city. And so they had water and everything going for them. And it was because of the wisdom of Hezekiah. And he wanted more opportunity to serve God. When Hezekiah became king and fully king and authority, he tore down the idols and all of the idolatry and all those things they had been doing. And he got people to come back to the will of God. Well, we have opportunities in life to serve God, and God gives us those opportunities. But we have to take the opportunity to do that. And in John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly." He came that we, you and me, in this life, as well as the ones who've lived before, can have the best life we can possibly have now, but also for all of eternity. Now, what does he require of us? That we believe him, that we try to live a faithful life before him, and obey the things the Lord has commanded. Now, that's not much compared to what Jesus did for us. A few moments ago, we partook of the Lord's Supper. It is a commemoration of his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus went to the cross. He shed his blood after being beaten and spit on and all the things that happened to Jesus Christ. He did that for you and me so we wouldn't have to suffer. He did that so we could have eternal life. So we have to be willing in this life to do the best that we can to serve him. We need also to see that as Hezekiah did, that life and death are entirely at divine disposal. Now, we are in God's hands. We belong to him. He is our Lord, our King. He is the one that sustains us every day we live. The best natural remedies are futile without divine blessings. Now, think about for a moment. As great and as many strides as have been made in the last three or four generations of life and in the medical profession and such to help people, to help to cure people of illness and even save them from death for a period of time. Ultimately, it's up to God. We're glad that we live in a time when there are so many that can help in those ways. And yet, Hezekiah knew that life was hopeless without God. And for us, too, the same thing is true. Ultimately, life, God rests in God's hands and not in our own. But we have to be willing to serve and to do the things that God requires of you and me. And if he wants to prolong our lives, that's within will of his power to do so, and part of his will. The Lord may use his power to strengthen us, give us better health, and to those who sincerely ask. Again, we go back to James chapter 5. James 5 in verse 16. He says, "The supplication," some translations say, "the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much in his working." And he talks about Elijah who prayed and God stopped the rain in Israel for 3 years. And because he was punishing them for their idolatry and rebellion against God. And then Elijah prayed again and God sent the rain back to them. But we look at that and sometimes we look around us and we think, well, in our world today that things are hopeless. How can they ever really get any better? Well, the only way that can happen is if we individually start by serving God and being faithful. And we realize that God's mercy is always there. God talks about on many occasions throughout his word, he is loving, he is kind, he is merciful. He wants us to be saved. He wants people to do right. God is not the kind of God that some people conceive of, that he kind of sits up there waiting for us to do something wrong and then he can destroy us and he gets joy out of that. 2 Peter chapter 3 says God is not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So he wants us to be saved eternally. Again, we go back to 2 Kings chapter 20 In verse 8, Hezekiah said to Isaiah is the prophet. He says, "What shall be the sign of the Lord? He will heal me, and I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day." Hezekiah, his faith was still wavering a little bit in this, and he wasn't quite sure. And God said, "Okay, I'll give you a sign. I will cause the sundial to back up 10 spaces, so you will know that this is from me." Well, it happened exactly as God said, and Hezekiah lived another 15 years as the king over Israel. And he went up finally to the house of God, as God had commanded him, 3 days later, and he offered the sacrifice and his thanks to the Lord. And we look at that and realize every one of us someday is going to face the same thing. We're going to face our own demise from this physical life. But God has promised, if you'll be faithful to me, I will be with you. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus gave the great commission to his disciples. He said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieves shall be condemned." Now, Matthew's account of it, he says also, "And I am with you always, even to the end of the world." In time of sickness, in time of difficulty and trouble in life, he wants us to lean upon him. He wants us to ask for help. Even though he already knows what we need, he still wants us to have it. And the days of Hezekiah, God answered his prayer. In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul prayed for one of his helpers there named Epaphroditus. It says he was sick nearly unto death. And Paul prayed that God would heal him. And eventually he did. God has a profound interest in the sufferings of all of us. If you don't believe that, go back and read the book of Job. How Job remained faithful to God in spite of all that happened to him. Yes, his faith wavered 2 or 3 times during the course of the book. But in the end, he still remained faithful to God. It says in Job chapter 42 that at the end of his life, or towards the end of his life, God restored everything he had had before. He lost his wealth, his family, everything that he owned. And yet God restored it because he was faithful. Joseph was sold into slavery, into Egypt. And that should have been the end of Joseph. But ultimately, because of God's love and mercy, because of Joseph's faith to God, he made him the second ruler of the kingdom of Egypt. And in doing so, he was able to save his brothers and his father and all of his family from death, from the famine that was going on. So we can't always see ahead in time how things are going to be. But if we're going to be faithful to the Lord, if we place our faith and our trust in him, he says, "If you will do that, I'll bless you, I'll be with you." This morning we have to make a decision in our life. Hezekiah did, and we have the same decision, to serve God or turn away. This morning, if you need to come, won't you do so as we stand, as we sing.